This is KUT. Public schools in Austin get federal and state money based on students' attendance and socioeconomic makeup. There are also factors like English language learners or students in special education. How schools supplement that money or fill in the gaps often depends on the private resources available from foundations, nonprofits, or parents. KUT's Kate McGee looks at two schools on opposite sides of Austin and how they fund programs for students.
Hi, Naya.
Hi, Rome.
Hi, Gabby.
Hi.
Skylar Lightfoot is sitting in the cafeteria at Pecan Springs Elementary in Northeast Austin. She greets about 50 students, all by name, as they check in for the after-school program.
Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
Hi, Zoe.
Hi, Michaela.
Hi.
Lightfoot is the after-school director at Pecan Springs. Her program provides 3 hours of structured activity every day, homework help, exercise, and weekly activities.
There's a lot of learning that goes on after school. There's not a lot of sitting in desks. We really try to focus on all the different types of learners. Our instructors have the freedom to be able to just get up and move around if they need to and really base it more on the kids and their interests and their levels of participation in the day.
97% of Pecan Springs' students come from low-income households, so these kinds of programs are crucial for many students. But the school's principal, Elaine McKinney, says it takes money.
If we want to bring in active life, that's money. We want to bring in theater arts, that's money. Taking them on field trips, that's money. Supplies for tie-dye and t-shirts, that's money. Those, you know, activities, robotics, that's money.
McKinney says there's a dedicated group of parents at Pecan Springs, but many hold multiple jobs and don't have time or money to give. The Parent Teacher Association here only has about 20 members. For the past 5 years, the after-school program here was funded by a federal grant, but the money ran out this year. That's where this guy comes in.
One of the things we go by at the foundation, one of our sayings is, talent is universal, opportunity is not.
That's Andy Roddick, retired tennis player and obviously the head of the Andy Roddick Foundation.
I wasn't one of these kids. I was given every opportunity to succeed. I did, but I do feel the responsibility to pay it forward because I had those opportunities. So we want to provide those same opportunities for the kids that maybe weren't born with it.
Roddick's foundation gave $160,000 to keep an after-school program going at the school. The need for private partners to fund services isn't new in East Austin. Many schools rely on nonprofits and outside groups to provide supplies, resources, and programs. But it's not how all campuses in the city provide extra programs. Baranoff Elementary School in Southwest Austin recently celebrated its annual Fall Festival, one of the three big fundraisers the school's Parent Teachers Association hosts annually. Baranoff gets most of its private funding from its PTA, which has more than 400 members. Many volunteer their time, organize special projects, or donate money. Peggy Kemp is the PTA president.
A lot of it with the PTA stuff is just parent-driven. If we have a parent that's very passionate about something, then that's where we go. I would say I'm in the minority on my exec board. Most of my exec board works full-time, and so there just isn't enough hours in the day. So if there's something they can do with their kids, then that's what they're going to do.
That includes an ecology pond, fitness trail, and reading program. Plus, the PTA chooses a sister school in East Austin and provides supplies and training for parents at that school's PTA. At Mills Elementary, also in Southwest Austin, the PTA's budget this year is about $57,000. Dana Bacon is the PTA president there. He says sometimes people don't realize just how big a role PTAs play in providing resources.
You know, I think there are parents who still are surprised to hear that our PTA is helping to pay for things like photocopiers and a tech teacher's salary. I think there are a lot of moving parts in education funding, and using the PTA as that tool to level things off across a community, it might not seem like the best way to get there when that conversation might take place at another level.
In 2012, the Texas Civil Rights Project released a report that says private money in schools with wealthier families and connections creates inequity between schools in rich and poor neighborhoods. Jim Barra is with the TCRP.
Some of it is financial resources. Some of it is cultural resources, networks in the community that support some schools more than others.
Austin ISD can't tell PTAs how to spend their money, but the Texas Civil Rights Project wants the district to create a system that would level the playing field between schools. Jim Harrington directs the group. He says individuals won't do it, so the district should step up.
People are going to say, I'd rather spend the money on my kids only rather than spend it on the whole community. So part of the problem is a lack of leadership in changing the way that we think about this.
Some school board members say they've heard similar things from parents at wealthier schools. But school board president Vincent Torres says low-income campuses have access to federal dollars that other schools do not. And there are low-income students at wealthier campuses. For example, 14% of students at Baranoff Elementary are economically disadvantaged. But Torres says those schools don't get federal funding specifically for those students, so-called Title I funding.
You need to consider all of these types of opportunities and programs that are available in the district that are only available to either one school or another and that are not available in the West Austin schools.
The Texas Civil Rights Project rejects that argument. They say Title I funding should be seen as supplemental. It says if AISD doesn't try to fix the problem, it plans to sue the district over inequitable funding. Kate McGee, KUT News.